Good morning, and a very warm welcome to church this morning. You may have anticipated that the seating arrangements might have been a little different this morning following the further relaxation of the COVID measures. However, we have been advised by the principal clerk of the Kirk that we should adopt a more cautionary approach. We didn't move down to 1 metre, we kept the 2 metre physical distancing, and we intend to do that for this week and next week. Beyond that, a decision will be taken at the Kirk session meeting this coming Wednesday. The likelihood is that we will also withdraw the need for booking on the Friday, and we will drop down to a register, which will simply be a tick against your name as you come into church on that Sunday. And that is because of the legal requirement in terms of the NHS test and protect system. You will still be required to wear masks, we will be allowed to sing, and it's likely we will continue with our one-way system of accessing and leaving the church at the end of the service. But we will give you further details once the session make the decision. So, thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to see you all. Those who are new folk, or folk who have been here often enough to know better, it's nice to see you. In case you wonder why it's me again, and your heart has just sunk, I'm sorry. But there was a diary malfunction. Amos was due to be in Tayport. He's interim moderator down there, and he was due to be in Tayport this week, and it just got mixed up with all the times and dates, so you're left with me again. Here is the place. Now is the time. An inner voice has bid us come. Here in the company where Christ is known, he claims our lives, he speaks our name. Here we declare a seed of faith, a will to learn, a gleam of truth, and ask for singleness of heart to follow where God sets out our path. Let us worship God. We start this morning by singing hymn 122, hymn 122, let all the world in every corner sing. In Revelation we read, here I stand knocking at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and he and I will eat together. Let us worship God in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign God, again we come to you as part of the great company of your people to offer you our worship, to give to you the praise and the glory, the honour and the thanksgiving that you and you alone deserve. Lord of all, hear our prayer. We come with awe and wonder, humility and reverence, joy and celebration, for you are a great God, gracious and loving, the creator of the ends of the earth, the giver of life in all its fullness. Lord of all, hear our praise. But we bring not just our praise, we bring also our confession, for we have failed you in so much. We have not worshipped you as we should. We have not shown proper gratitude for all you have given us. We have not looked to you for guidance, nor have we always followed it when it was provided. We have not loved one another or our neighbour as much as we love ourselves. We've been thoughtless, careless, selfish, and so much else we should not have been. Lord of all, hear our confession. We come, throwing ourselves once more upon your mercy, depending on your grace to lift us up and renew us once more. Grant us your forgiveness. Do not hold our feelings against us. Give us this time for repentance and the strength to turn away from all that would hinder our life with you. Use this time of worship to touch our hearts, to speak to our minds, to transform our lives. Lord of all, hear our cry through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose words we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn 517, Fight the Good Fight with All Your Might.
Let us listen for the word of God. In the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 to 8, that's on page 61 of the Pew Bible, Elijah flees to Horeb. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left a servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And we also read from the New Testament, from the book of John, at chapter 6. And we read verse 35 and then verses 41 to 51. Jesus, the bread of life. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And at 41, "At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Thanks be to God. We will now sing hymn 192, "All My Hope on God Is Founded."
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Have you enjoyed the Olympics? Or are you one of the folk who looked in the TV listings this morning and said, and read a closing ceremony and your heart lifted a bit? Sadly, I didn't get to see one of my favourite sports. Well, I didn't see a lot of it, amateur boxing. Indeed, my first memory of the Olympic Games was in 1956. I know, you won't believe that, but Dick McTaggart won a gold medal at boxing, one of only six medals that Britain won that year. In addition, he won the award for the most stylish boxer in the Games. Not only was Dick McTaggart from Dundee, I knew where he lived, not that far away, in a tenement close just down from Dens Park. Even if we had had a television, there was no TV coverage, and I am told that the radio reception from Australia was apparently very poor. Nevertheless, Dick received a hero's welcome when he arrived back in Dundee. All the way from the railway station up to his house, huge crowds gathered and cheered the conquering hero. There were a few, however, who could be heard to say, "Oh, him, I kent his feather." It's an old Scottish expression. It's a jealous and small-minded jibe, often heard when someone has made a little something of their lives. Sadly, it's not exclusive to Scotland. As John put it in his gospel reading this morning, is it not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? Last Sunday, we were looking at the passage where Jesus revealed to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." In this morning's gospel reading, we see the reaction of the crowd to Jesus. They rejected him. They rejected his wonderful offer of eternal life. This hardly seems credible. What caused it? Well, remember the crowd's demand for more miraculous signs from Jesus, John 6 at verse 30. More sadly, nothing had changed them. Their reaction was still rooted in their desire for earthly things, for immediate satisfaction, for human values, that they held as important. Him, I kent his feather. They were only able to see his human side, the familiar side of Jesus, his family and background in Nazareth. How could he possibly be a special messenger from God? They could not understand how Jesus, a carpenter, a humble tradesman, from a poor home, from up in the frozen north, and from a town far removed from Jerusalem, how could he be the anointed one? They rejected Jesus because they used their all too human standards and their own limited social value. Can you imagine being foolish enough to refuse a gift of £100,000 simply because you didn't like the paper it was wrapped in? Well, that's what the crowd did. We must be careful in our own lives never to neglect a message from God simply because we cannot stand the messenger. Even someone whom we would normally miss, ignore, just might have something special to tell us. God has many messengers. He will use many different ways of telling us what to do. God's greatest messenger was a humble woodworker from Galilee. That is why the crowd couldn't hear his message. They just didn't rate Jesus at all. John 9, verse 43. Stop grumbling amongst yourselves. The crowd complained and argued with each other. They were completely taken up with their own selfish agendas. It never occurred to any of them, that they might consult God. In their eagerness to win an argument, they ignored the possibility that God would have the right answer. There is no doubt that the church in Scotland, the Church of Scotland in general, is facing a great crisis at this moment. There's no doubt that every congregation in the church needs to take time to consider our position, time to pray quietly, prayerfully, and humbly. We need to seek God's guidance. There is no room for strident voices loudly proclaiming that we have the answer, if only everybody else would just agree with us. We need to ask God what he thinks and what he wants us to do. We need to listen. However, in the passage, we see that the crowd listened, but they did not learn. Now, there are different kinds of listening. We can listen simply to criticize. We can listen with increasing resentment. We can listen with a growing feeling of superiority. We can listen with shoulder-shrugging indifference. We can listen with growing impatience because it's nearly our turn to speak. The only listening which counts is listening, which listens and then learns. There is no other way to listen to God. No one can come to me unless the Father who sends me draws him. Again, John 6, verse 43. The crowd resisted the call to Jesus. The same word appears in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, when God calls to Jeremiah, "With loving kindness I have drawn you." The Greek translation of the Hebrew word implies that there is always a degree of resistance. Later in John's Gospel and chapter 21, the same word is used twice to indicate the disciples were struggling to lift the fishing nets. It appears again, Acts 16, verse 9, when Paul and Silas are dragged in front of the magistrates in Philippi. Always there is this idea of resistance. In this case, it is a refusal by the crowd to follow God's bidding. God can and does draw people towards him. Too often, that call does not find an echo in the hearts and the minds of those who hear. The call is dismissed in the cacophony of modern life, or it is misunderstood, or it is wrongly heard by those with a different agenda to God's. Last week's sermon was called Real Hunger Satisfied. It was Jesus calling himself the bread of life, someone who could give eternal life. This means that Jesus is necessary for a life which gives satisfaction. To refuse that invitation is to refuse real life, to roam forever in a spiritual wilderness. The rabbis had a saying, "The generation in the wilderness have no part in the life to come." This recalled the story from the book of Numbers. Scouts had been sent out to bring back reports of Canaan. The land was indeed very fertile, but there were also fierce tribes. Those who refused to brave the dangers were condemned to wander the wilderness until they died. they would never reach the promised land. They would never live that life that had been promised to them by God. Only those who were brave enough to put their trust in God reached the promised land. To refuse to eat the bread of eternal life, to refuse the offer of Jesus, is to miss out on the great things of this world. To accept the gracious gift of Jesus is to live a real life in this world. To accept the gracious gift of Jesus is to live a glorious one in the world to come. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow thirsty, never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is hymn 606. Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders. We come now to our prayers of dedication and intercession. Firstly, a prayer of dedication. Let us pray. Living God, you have poured out your blessings upon us day after day. You have filled our lives with good things so that they overflow with plenty. You have met our needs and more than our needs, giving us a world of infinite variety and pleasure. Receive these gifts. Receive our worship. Receive our faith. For we bring them to you as a small but simple way of saying thank you for all you have done in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We come now to prayers for ourselves and for others. I have a response, as I often do. It's the usual, Lord, in your mercy, and if you feel comfortable, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father, when we see a lost world, a troubled world, when we are aware of the sadness, the sorrow, the pain felt in the world, we pray, send your word of hope, of love, of joy, to bring an end to guilt, to fear, and to suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Open our eyes so that, like the prophets of old, we may become more aware of your glory and your power surrounding us on every side. Save us from despair, fill us with courage, join our wills to yours, and make us channels of your grace and messengers of your word in all that we say and do and are. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your church here on earth. There are times when we lose our way and are in danger of losing our hold on you. Give your church faith to believe, hope to reach out, and love to make real. Rekindle our faith in the promise given to us in Scripture that all tears will be wiped away as death, sadness, crying, and pain will cease. Cease through the power of your word in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Christians everywhere. We ask for courage to stand firm on the promises and teaching of the Gospels. In a time when fewer and fewer turn to you, keep all your people faithful to you and to your word. Give us the courage, the power, and the conviction not only to live by your word, but to make it known everywhere and to everyone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for all who are abused, ignored, or made to feel as if they do not matter. We pray that wherever there is hurt and pain, there will be a word of healing. Where there is cruelty, violence, and oppression, there will be the word of hope. Where there is injustice, brokenness, and arrogance, there too will be the word of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for ourselves. Keep convincing us of your tremendous power. Assure us of the height, depth, and breadth of your love. By your Holy Spirit, save us. Save us from despair. Fill us with your strength. Be with us forever. Be with us as we journey towards you in love, in joy, and in the hope of our eternal rest. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the name of Christ, God's gift to the world. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is hymn 159. Lord, for the years your love has kept unguided. our service is ended, we go out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.